and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you'll be opening your Bibles to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I give you one guess what the topic is tonight. Kevin did a wonderful job in the song service. I remember when I was in high school and in a speaking contest. At the end of the speaking contest, there was a big formal banquet, and each of the winners of the various age groups were to give their speech. And I remember thinking, after I heard this one girl, she was a senior that year, and I remember thinking, "Whew, I'm glad she was not in my grade." I remember for a long time the first few words of her speech. She had a coach, a speech coach, that her parents had hired. And just talking to this young lady, she spoke just like we speak. But then when she got up to speak, she spoke in a British accent. And I can't do a British accent. But anyway, her first lines were, "Kids, kids, kids. What will we ever do with kids?" And then gave one of the best speeches I've ever heard in my life. Talented young lady. Well, tonight, perhaps some of you that are planning on teaching a room full of kids tomorrow morning, maybe you're thinking tonight as you go to bed, "Kids, kids, kids, what are we going to do with all these kids?" Maybe some of you working on refreshments can imagine the fellowship hall half full of kids wanting refreshments and think, "What are we going to do with all these kids?" Or ones with crafts, or ones with the puppets or the reenactments, and all there is of VBS. It's running through our minds, what are we going to do with these kids? Well, there's many things we could say that we're going to do with these kids. But Jesus Christ gave us some very specific things that we must do with these kids. Read with me, if you will. It's somewhat a lengthy text. It's 14 verses, but yet it's a very beautiful text. I believe that it's one of the most beautiful texts ever written about children. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses! For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee enter into life halt or maimed, than rather than to have two hands and two feet go and to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." What are we going to do with all the kids? Jesus, speaking because of his disciples' lack childlike humility, said, "Let me take you to what we should be concentrating on." He said, "We should be concentrating on being more like a child in our humility." And then it's almost as if he says, "And since we're on the topic of children, let me tell you some things that you should always keep in mind in dealing with children." Jesus says very plainly, number one, I want you to receive children. And he says that when you receive children, you've received him. Now, that might be somewhat a difficult concept to comprehend at first. How do we receive Jesus when we receive a child? Well, think with me for just a moment of a few examples. You remember when Saul was persecuting Christians, people on earth. He was stopped on that road, and the Lord cried out to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, did Saul look up and say, "No, Lord, I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting Christians"? No. Saul understood that what the Lord was saying was that when you harm my people, you're harming me. When we go over just a few pages to Matthew, the 25th chapter, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, we have a beautiful teaching on the judgment day. And we're told in verse 40, "The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Now that was after Jesus said, "You've done all these wonderful things for me." And Jesus says, and the people say to Jesus, "We don't remember doing that for you." He says, "Oh, if you've done it for even the least, you've done it to me." But then he teaches the opposite side of that coin. And he says, for all those that wouldn't give food, wouldn't give drink, wouldn't give clothing, and wouldn't visit, and so forth, he says in verse 45, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." It's a wonderful thought when we think of receiving a child. Now please notice that to receive a child is to make a decision to show a form of hospitality to that child. Now oftentimes when we think of hospitality, we think of coming into our home. I don't think that the definition is that strict of coming into the home. It's meaning to show a child that you've made a decision by what you say to them or by the action or reaction that you give to them, that you truly are inviting them as an important person into your life. A child is just like all of us. We want to be important to those around us. If I have a friend, I want to be important enough to that friend that I'm worth something in his eyes. So it is a child in parents' eyes and in grandparents' eyes and in those that they're around often. They want to be counted as important. And Jesus Christ doesn't give us a choice if we're going to please Him. Jesus Christ says, you receive them. You count them as important. They're very important in the kingdom of heaven. Think with me also in James, the first chapter, the last verse, verse 27. He said, pure religion and undefiled before men is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. The fatherless. You see, Jesus says children are important. And then through James he even says, and you make sure that if a child has some kind of disadvantage because of the situation in which he was born, he tells the rest of us that Christians are to be the relief agent. Now think about that. God expects Christians to be the relief to children. Why? Because children oftentimes can't fend for themselves. Children can't go out and do everything for themselves. And so God says if they're born into a situation where the world won't take care of them, He says you make sure that you go and you do your part to take care of them. Why, Jesus? He says they're important. Receive them unto you. I beg you this day, as we go into this week, let us all, even though there'll be hectic moments this next week, or this week, even though there'll be times where we have to concentrate on whatever the curriculum is or whatever the activity is, let us always remember that we're doing all of this to help the children, to build them up. And let's make sure that not one child leaves here having not been received. Let's make sure that every child that attends this Vacation Bible School can drive by this building and they can say, the people that go to church there like me. I'm important to them. I believe with all of my heart that's what the Lord expects of us. He says it. Number one, receive them. Let them know that they're important to you. But then He says, number two, there in verse 6, make sure that you don't offend them. Some translations would say, make sure that you cause them not to stumble. How horrible it is when we cause anyone to stumble or when we cause anyone to be offended. But again, Jesus is reminding us that children are important. And so even though other passages speak against being a stumbling block to adults, Jesus wanted to make sure that we understand that it's wrong to be a stumbling block to children also. Now, oftentimes when we study passages like this, and we think about receiving children and being good to children, we often picture that Jesus picked up a little bitty baby. The kind that you want to go up and pinch the cheek and say all those funny words that aren't even English words to them. But now keep in mind, Jesus, when He gives this passage, is speaking about children that according to this verse, they're old enough to believe in Jesus. And according to the parable that we closed our text with, they're old enough to fall away from Jesus. Now wait a minute. Are you talking about those strange creatures? The teenagers? Are you talking about those that we just don't understand? Are you talking about those that always look at everything a little bit different than the normal people? Just kidding, teenagers. But that's right. Jesus is talking about the ones that are old enough to believe and are old enough to fall away. And He says, even about those children, you make sure that you receive them. You make sure that you count them important. And then He says, you make sure that you don't do anything to cause those children to fall away from the Lord. How wonderful it is whenever a congregation can show a love to their teenagers, to their junior high students, that lets them know without doubt, the congregation where I attend, they're on my side. They want me to grow and to mature in the Lord. And they count me as important. Here, Jesus gives a very sickening illustration. But yet, two times, two different sickening illustrations to prove the point of the importance of not leading a child away from the Lord. Number one, He says, this is what you deserve. He says, if you are going to live a life as to cause a child to stumble, He says, you ought to go to where the women, usually in that day and time it was the women that rolled that huge stone to crush the corn. He says, you go over that millstone, and He says, what you deserve is that someone put a chain around your neck and around that millstone, and that they take and they cast you off into the sea, and that you lie in the bottom of that sea and drown. Jesus says, that'd be better for you than for you to live a life of causing children to stumble. And then, even to drive the point home a step further, He uses an illustration that the only other time we see this illustration used is when Jesus teaches about lust and how dangerous it is in relation to marriage and divorce. And you remember in that topic, He also used in Matthew 5 the illustration of pluck your eye out or cut your right hand off. And now here, speaking about the importance of not offending a child, He uses the same illustration, worded just a little different, but the same illustration. It'd be better if we're going to cause a child to stumble for us to find out whatever it is in our life that's causing that and cut it off. Why, Lord? Now listen. In other words, Jesus says, because if you don't, you're not going to heaven. It's that important. He says, if you don't cut it out of your life, you're going to go into damnation with it. Yes, let us make sure that just as Jesus was teaching us, that we grasp the importance of not causing a child to stumble. Let me mention just a couple of things along with this thought of causing a child to stumble that so oftentimes we do and we really don't think about what we're doing. Oftentimes, if you want to cause a child to stumble, be overly critical of the child. A child needs an education. And a child needs guidance. But an education and guidance is not criticism every day, all day long. How long has it been since your child has heard something positive? Was the last words criticism or the last words something positive? You know, there's some children that the only things they know about themselves in relation to their parents or those around them is all the things they can't do right. We need to make sure that we give a very balanced rearing to our children, making sure that they do have correction Children need correction. But making sure that we are as positive as we can be in building them up. Because when Jesus teaches this about letting children know that they're important to us and not offending them, He's talking as much to parents as He is to any group of people. Let us make sure also that we don't take the Bible and become dishonest with it. Don't try to make up rules that the Bible doesn't say and say they're in there just because that you think your child will obey it if they think it's in the Bible. Many parents have done it. What happens? The child gets old enough to read the Bible for themselves. It may be up in their teenage years, but before long they find out what's been said is not there. And then they start wondering what else is not there. And oftentimes doubt much of their faith at that point. Other parents go to the other extreme. They're loose. More loose than what the Bible is loose. In other words, they have the mindset that says the Bible couldn't possibly lead a teenager's life. So we're going to have to just let them go out and set up some other standards and when they grow up, we'll teach them to live by the Bible. Rather than the Bible is as much for teenagers as it is adults, as much as it is for any of us. And we must realize that we should expect our children to live by this book. When a teenage boy comes in and he confesses something to his father and his father says, "Son, I knew you'd do that. Every young man does that. Don't you worry about that." You know what that young man's going to be doing next Friday and Saturday night? The same thing again. Why? Because Daddy gave the approval and he says it's just normal for teenage boys. Brethren, let us realize that we only have one law to give our children, and it's the law of God. And any time we lead our children to believe that they do not have to live by this law, not only have we caused our children to stumble, but Jesus says we deserve to be lying in the bottom of the sea, and we can't expect to find ourselves in heaven if we don't change our ways. Now, notice also the third thing that Jesus says here in verse 10. He says, make sure you don't despise the little children. It's such a sad thing to see individuals that don't like children. And I mean really don't like children. Children are a wonderful excitement. They bring a joy to life. And for whatever reasons we might have for not wanting children in our presence, we must show children agape love. That means that we do right and we treat others as they should be treated, whether we feel like it or not. And so there we come back to Christ's command here, don't despise them. In other words, Jesus is saying, you show a child at least agape love. In other words, Jesus says, you show a child the second and great commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the challenge is for all of us, that we despise not that child. The conclusion is very important. He says there was a shepherd that went along and he got to his destination and he counted and he only had 99 sheep. And he knows that he left having 100. He knows that one sheep has gone astray. And Jesus says that one sheep that has gone astray is a teenager, is a young person, old enough to believe, old enough to fall away. And then Jesus teaches what should be a powerful lesson to our eldership, to all of our teachers here, and to all of our parents and grandparents, and to all those that love children. And that is, Jesus only gives us one option, and one option only. Jesus says, you leave the 99 and you go after the one. But Jesus, you don't understand. Jesus, that was just a young person. And you know, Jesus, that some young people are going to fall away. He says, that's right. I know that. So go and get them. No, but Jesus, you don't understand. This young person has always been a little bit rebellious. And we knew that it was just a matter of time. And they were going to fall away. You could see it coming up, Jesus. And Jesus would say, that's right. And you go to bring them back. Jesus, maybe you haven't looked closely at the pattern that seems to develop. Jesus, we expect to lose 10 or 15 or 20% of our young people. Jesus, that was just one of those 10%. Jesus says, no. When one falls away, you go. to bring the one back. Now, of course, it's the young person's decision. But we all have our responsibility and obligation. And that is, no excuse is good enough for Jesus except the fact that we've gone and we've done all that we could do. Please realize that it is important to talk about what can we do to cause fewer to fall away. I'm all for conversations like that. But we should never try to mend the fence without bringing the lost back. I don't know of any farmer with any common sense that when his cattle gets out, goes and fixes the fence first and then tries to drive the cattle back through a fence that's already been repaired. You always go out and you bring the cattle in, and as they cross over the hole, you then mend it back. Plain and simple. Yes, we do need to be looking for the holes. And we need to look and see where we have failed young people, if in fact we have. And we need to see what we can do different and see what we can mend and what we can change. But only should we do that as we also go out and search for the ones that have fallen away. Tonight, Jesus gives us some beautiful teaching on receiving children, not offending them, not despising them, and counting them as important. So important that we will go after them. Young people, I hope you realize the importance that you are in the church, in the life of Christ, as a very important part of His ministry was teaching about your importance. For all of us, we must realize the importance of children. I read in a book several years ago, and I liked the statement. It said that a congregation that wants to do things right will go all out for the children. Now, I believe that should be kept in balance, but I think you know what I'm saying. I think that's somewhat what Jesus was saying. In other words, maybe we could put it more like Jesus said. A congregation that's doing things right is going to make sure that every child knows that they're received. They're important. We don't want to offend you. We don't want to turn you away. As a matter of fact, we want to spend eternity with you in heaven. Tonight, are you a part of God's family? Are you God's child? Have you ever come to Christ to be baptized for the remission of your sins and live for Him? If not, won't you do that tonight? Perhaps you've done that, but yet you've fallen somewhere and you've made your mistakes. The beautiful thing about our Father in heaven is that He knows that we're weak and He knows that we make mistakes. And so He's offered us a way to come back, a way to say we're sorry. We want to repent. We want to turn away from those sins again, and we want to be accepted into your adopted family again. Thank God that we have a Father like that. If we can help you in any way tonight, come as we stand, as we sing.